Reiner Schaug from TSN joins us. And Schaug, I guess we start with the scary news of the day involving Jake Muzzin, and you hope it's just ultra precautionary, but you know, looked like some sort of neck injury potentially, maybe a burner at best, and something else at worst, but a good 15-minute delay in late in that game.
Yeah, I saw that, and you know, when it initially happened, he was moving around a fair amount to the point where he even sat up.
Yeah.
And then he sort of laid himself back down. And then when the trainer got there, he probably, you know, if he was feeling some pain in his neck, as soon as the guy mentions pain in his neck, then obviously the trainers are going to have to be really careful. And so they click into a certain protocol. But I think the fact that he was moving around so much, probably, you know, if you're his family at home watching that, you probably feel really good about the fact that you at least saw him moving. It looked like he was squeezing his hands and moving all of his extremities and stuff. So, but it's always scary every time doctors say they need to get a stretcher and take you off the ice. So just hoping he's okay. And kind of like, not to get too far ahead of it, but, you know, this is one of those things that when you're in a bubble environment, you know, you wonder getting in an ambulance, probably having to go to a local hospital, which means he's leaving the bubble. And then there's some protocols that are in place that potentially, you know, regardless of whether his injury is maybe not as serious as it potentially looked, it could be some time before he can get back into the bubble to continue playing. So there'll be some return to the bubble protocols at some point that apply.
Yeah, it's interesting. I sent out a few texts about that, and right now they're not really sure on what it is, right? Because, you know, I guess if he goes in there, and obviously you're with people that are masked up and everything, like, I don't know, does it mean it's 5 days for the negative testing thing? So who knows? Obviously,
no,
that's
it's kinda 4 days. So it's section
4 days.
It's section C2 of their return to play protocol. And it basically, they have a number of different reasons you would have to leave the bubble, and then what it's like trying to get back in, and, you know, the different protocols you would have to follow to try and get back in. So it's and it's you know, needing 4 negative tests over a period of 4 days. So there's a testing protocol that takes place, and that's for people who are leaving the bubble with permission, right? So whether it's to get medical attention or to, let's say, you know, you wanted to leave to go see a specific type of doctor, they make allocations for all these different sorts of things. But it's not as easy as just coming right back into the bubble. So you know what? Hopefully they need to figure that out, because hopefully Muzzin is just fine and ready to come back into the bubble if, in fact, he did have to leave it today.
Reiner Schaug from TSN joining us. Schaug, the Oilers back in the series. It's now a best of three as they play one of their worst games in a long time in game one, and a much better effort. And virtually, I'm not sure you can get a better start than what they had in game two.
Yeah, really. I mean, I love the fact that right from the get-go, you know, even from that opening draw, McDavid just, he really wanted to bear down. And I really liked that Nugent Hopkins jumped in there too to help out, make sure they got that draw, right? It's like it's one of those little details you think, you know, not a huge deal. But McDavid was beaten in the faceoff circle a few times, and it cost them a little bit in game one. And so if you want to be a team that comes out and it takes care of the details, as a leader, you got to do that right away. And so he bears down on that faceoff. Nugent Hopkins helps him out. That possession leads to a goal. Leon Draisaitl steps over the boards and in his first shift of the game tries to throw two big hits. Connected decent on one of them, missed a little bit on the other, but everybody on the bench sees that. And they all go, okay, this is the way, you know, everyone's got to jump on board here. So some small details that the leadership group was taking care of in the early going, and it follows through. You know, mistakes were made, right? McDavid had the blown coverage in front of the net. Wasn't ideal, but again, they pushed back again. So it's not going to be a perfect game, but just nice attention to detail on the little things that I think made a big difference throughout the course of the night. And then how about that penalty kill? Like, man, talk about clutch.
Well, their penalty kill was unreal in the second period. And usually it's, you're going to say it about your goaltender, but very few shots got through the goalie, none of them from within 28 feet. And it made his life a lot easier. Bear blocking shots, Nurse blocking shots, Russell, Larson, and then Shahan and Archibald. But, yeah, their penalty kill looked much more in sync than they did in the first game.
Yeah, and there's one formation where Chicago was set up, and I think it was the Darnell Nurse block, where they threw it over to the right side, and there was quite a big gap between the player that got the puck and Darnell Nurse. And he had to step right in front of it from pretty close range. He knew it was going to hurt, and they just didn't hesitate at all, man. They were just jumping in front of those pucks. And those little moments, you put a bunch of those together, and that's what championship hockey looks like. That level of commitment, that level of sacrifice, that level of intensity. You know, when you watch a Stanley Cup final, you see that stuff all the time. That's just the level you need to get to. And I think in a few ways last night, the Oilers gave an indication that they have that level within them. It's just about accessing it and being consistent. But they showed to me, you know, because quite often if I'm covering a Stanley Cup final, I'll watch the game, and, you know, because I cover the Oilers, I'll think, okay, how would the Oilers make out against this team? Or would they be able to hit this type of level? And you look for it. And I feel like I saw that a couple of times from the group last night, their ability to hit that level that will be required if they were to go on a deep run.
When you look at the, all lines are rolling, but the Oilers' fourth line, I thought was their most consistent line in game one.
Are they calling it their fourth line?
I would probably call it their third line.
I've never thought it was their fourth line. I felt like that's been the third line since the start of training camp. Maybe that's just me. I guess maybe we think of Riley Sheahan as the third line center ahead of Jujhar Khaira. But if you sum up the parts on those lines, I feel like it's...
Yeah, but Khaira didn't play center until a week before the break.
Yeah, fair enough. But anyways, regardless, I know exactly the line you're talking about. James Neal has been deep into the playoffs before, right? He knows, like, that type of hockey I was just talking about, that intensity level, that next level effort. He knows what that looks like, and he's been really good through two games. I think he's been skating incredibly well. He looks a little faster than he did earlier on in the year. And he looks like, and in limited minutes, like at the end of the night when you're sitting there going, James Neal was one of the Oilers' best forwards, and then you look at his minutes and see that he played 12 or 13, 11 the night before, whatever it was, that's impressive to make that kind of an impression with those sorts of minutes. And to me, he's done it two games in a row.
Yeah, well, they've been great. I really believe, and I said at the start, I felt the size and experience of that line. And he looks quicker because he's not playing with a broken toe, so I think that probably helps. But, you know, energy, I'm sure. I just look at the size mismatch. And obviously James Neal has skill. The guy's like top 250 goal scorers of all time. He's got some skill in the NHL. That Chicago's defense, they just can't really handle the size and strength of that line right now.
Yeah, you get in there and you get pounded on the forecheck a little bit. Now, funny, he was only credited, I think, with one hit last night. He hit way more than that, but he gets in there and he turns pucks over and guys feel him coming, and it's they know. Like, James Neal can be a really significant factor physically when he gets it in his mind that that's the way he wants to play. He hits hard. So, you know, he gets going like that. Chiasson is a bigger body. Jujhar Khaira threw a couple. Jujhar Khaira probably threw the best hit of the night last night. You know, I think it was in behind the net. Just walloped a guy. I can't remember who it was. Khaira has that in him as well. So, tell you what, if whatever James Neal has going on right now, if that continues to rub off on Jujhar Khaira and we see that physicality and that intensity level from Khaira, championship teams have third and fourth lines with guys that on a lot of other teams would be higher up. And James Neal and Alex Chiasson, when they're on their game, they're those guys that could be playing up higher on other teams. And so they're bringing something. It's an important element. And I love the point you made today just about the sheer size of them compared to the opposition and how that matters.
Yeah, well, I was kind of breaking it down, the order of size top to bottom. They're just a much bigger team. And the thing is, their size, guys like Draisaitl, 212, skates. Cassian can skate. Darnell Nurse is 220 pounds, one of their top three skaters maybe on their team. Their big guys can skate. So it's not a big and prodding team by any stretch. And I think as the longer the series goes, that's where it becomes more of an advantage for them. But when I look at the game tomorrow against the Hawks, you know, we saw improvement of their defensive play. I think that's got to continue for the Oilers, because you know Chicago's going to leak chances. They have all season long. The Oilers have scored 10 goals in two games. I don't see suddenly Chicago becoming a defensive juggernaut. So as long as the Oilers can be responsible defensively, they should have their way with them.
I think so. The one way that the Oilers can get themselves in trouble is if they continue to take penalties at the pace they did in Game 2, and in particular, and that was an important juncture of the game. Like, that wasn't after they had the 2 or 3 goal lead. That was an important part of the game where they kept taking penalty after penalty after penalty. And I did not like that Matt Benning penalty at all. I understand there's times that you need to protect yourself as a player. That's not one of them. You got to take that hit. You got to not react by putting your stick into a guy's face, especially after your team has just done everything it had done to kill those penalties. So they're going to have to tighten up on some of those penalties. And if you want to be big and physical, you're going to take a few penalties based on aggression. You can't take a penalty like that for me. If they stay out of penalty trouble and they let their offense do its thing and they continue to pay attention to detail, they'll be good. You give Chicago more opportunities to sort that power play out, and those guys are going to at some point.
Have you had any interest in the seeding games?
Haven't sat and watched a full one yet, so I would say there's enough. I mean, between having to cover the Oilers every day and trying to keep an eye on the other Canadian teams and what's going on, just haven't had the time and haven't sat. What's the intensity level been like? Like, the couple periods I've watched, it's been like, yeah, okay, like, sure, yeah, it's good. But it doesn't feel like playoff hockey necessarily to me. What have you seen?
Not at all yet. I think it'll probably ratchet up slowly because the games matter for seeding, but it's not like life and death for the teams here that if you lose, you go home, right? These four teams all know they're going to be here next week. It's just a matter of who they're going to be playing. And I kind of thought they were feeling their way in it. We haven't seen the anger that you would see in the other games, which is normal. Although the Edmonton-Chicago series really hasn't had that much animosity. It's probably the least animosity of all the series I've seen thus far, and I wonder if that changes or not over the next few days.
Who are you going to get mad at on that team? Like, who?
No, it's true, but if you're the Oilers, you should be bullying them a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that they did a better job in Game 2. Cassian had a little bit more of a snarl on, which he needed to do. Guys were finishing checks. They were using their size advantage in that game. Now, again, you got to be smart, man. You can't kill off 6-8 straight minutes in penalties. It kills your bench, takes guys out of the game. I really like, though, like, Athanasiu's game yesterday was really good. I think that's a real confidence-building game for him. And I'm really interested to see how he can build off of that. I'm really interested to see if he can put a couple of those together and have his coaching staff talking about him two nights in a row. Because, he's a talented guy. We've all seen how many goals he can score in this league. On any given night, he can get himself noticed. The issue with him is do it 6 out of 7 nights, right? So we're going to learn something about him in this next game if he can manage his success properly. It's one thing to manage failure and to bounce back. It's another thing to manage success and be able to build off of it, and I'll be really interested to see if he can do that.
Yeah, to me, the only negative of his game was the blind backhand passes in the offensive zone.
Yeah, he's prone to those a little bit, eh?
So that's the one thing that he's
That'll drive your line mates nuts, out. Too, and that'll keep you off the skill lines if you're constantly doing that, right? Pucks dying on your stick. So he's got to work that out of his game, but at the same time, I just love his get up and go. I mean, he wants the puck. He's so blazing fast. And he even gets it in him every once in a while to throw some hits. And when he combines his speed with a little bit of physicality, he can actually do it not too bad. So he's got lots of good elements there, right? I mean, they paid a hefty price to get him. And I think that there's a good chance he still will have a significant impact.
Shager, we'll see you at the rink tomorrow. Have a good one.
Okay, enjoy the games tonight.